Hey, welcome to church. If you're brand new, we're honored to have you here today in this beautiful fall. And we turn to October, and it seems like whenever we turn to fall and turn to October, that's when we're often thinking about ghosts. We're thinking about paranormal, supernatural things. And so we just figured as a church, this would be a great time for us to lean in to the supernatural side of God. And so what we're talking about is we're talking about the ghost of God, which might sound a little weird to you if you haven't been to church. What do you mean the ghost of God? We're talking about the more mysterious side of God, the supernatural side of God, that we can experience him through what's often referred to as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and maybe for you this is all a little bit new. And let me just say, I imagine hearing us talk about kind of the spirit side of God might be a little bit strange, might be a little different, but here's what we really believe. We believe that you can never really encounter God in a real personal way unless you understand the Spirit of God. Like, if you were here last week, one of the things that we said, and was just kind of, the goal was just to lay a foundation as we talk about the ghost, the Holy Spirit, was this idea of understanding that it is the Holy Spirit who actually enables us to experience God in a personal way. And can I just tell you, the goal of what happens when we gather as a church, when we walk with God in faith, the goal is not for us just to have a religion, but it is to experience God in a relationship. How many of you know that's true? Right? The goal is not religion, it's a relationship. You'll hear us say that all the time. You're like, isn't it the same? And I'd say, no, it's not the same. It's actually quite different. Here's what religion does. Religion informs us, but it's relationship that changes us. Religion can give you an ethical framework for life. I shouldn't do this. I should do this. Religion is very good at telling us ethically what we should and shouldn't do. But listen, it is a relationship with God that actually begins to conform your heart so that you do the things that God wants you to do and you don't do the things he doesn't want you to do. Religion will always just kind of come to you as a list of things that you're supposed to follow, do's and don'ts, these and thou shalt nots. That's what religion is. But here's the thing. It doesn't actually begin to change you. And if you want to know what will change you, and I think all of us, maybe that's the hope, maybe you don't feel that way, but I know I have in my life, is I always see that I need to change. There's things in me that need to change. And here's the thing. The more you begin to walk with God in a relationship, the more it will change you. Because here's the thing we know about relationships, right? Relationships change us. In fact, have you ever noticed, this is a strange thing, and I'm not even really sure if it's scientific, but have you ever noticed couples that have been together a really long time start to look like each other? Have you ever noticed that? You seen a little older couple, and they've been together for a real long time, you're like, they could be brother and sister, right? Because the older it seems that you are, the longer you're with someone, the more it begins to change you. I can attest to that. I've been married for over 27 years. I've been with my wife in a dating or some capacity relationship for almost 30 years. I know that's really hard to believe that long. And can I just tell you, over that time, the Laura Lee spirit has actually worked to change a lot of things inside of me. You know what I mean by the Laura Lee spirit, right? It's just like when she met me, my room was a disaster when I was a teenager. I never put my clothes away, dirty clothes. I never did that. But then when we got married, okay, I quickly learned that that is not acceptable in the eyes of the Laura Lee spirit. And what's happened is it began to change me. And so now I'm pretty good, can I just say, about throwing my dirty clothes in the dirty laundry hamper. But believe it or not, there's other things. Like my wife is, she loves things neat. And I'm glad for that, okay? She loves things in order. She doesn't like dishes. She doesn't like things out. There's no pots and pans. There's nothing on the counters. And it would bother her. She can't rest. She can't do anything unless it's all clean. And I'm like, what's the big deal? We're just going to use it again soon. But over time, okay, over time, I began to find, and I don't even remember when it happened, but all of a sudden one day I realized I don't like things out of order. I like things neat. I like things put away. I don't like dishes out. I don't know what happened to me, but something transformed inside of me. Because here's what we know. Relationships change us. Now, I don't know if they actually make us look like the other person. Like there was a study that was done in 1987, and someone, they came up with this theory of this called empathy mimicry, which is this idea that the more bonded you are and the longer you're with someone, that you kind of emotionally and through empathy begin to like take on facial features of that person, because I don't even know. I feel like that stuff's probably not even true, all right? But I think if it's not physical, I think we probably all agree that really impactful relationships in our lives do change us. That I can say that I am a better father, I'm a better husband, I hope a better man, really because of my relationship with my wife. Like she has had that kind of influence on me. And I hope I've had a similar type of influence on her, because it does, relationships change us. Now let me ask you this, if you are here today and you have a relationship with Jesus, do you think that maybe in that relationship that he wants to change you? Let me tell you this. If you have a relationship with Jesus, let me tell you this. You won't change him. I can promise you that. It don't work that way. But I do believe that it will begin to change you. That following Jesus, something begins to shift inside of us. And let me just tell you this. The goal of following Jesus is not to punch your ticket into heaven someday when you die. That's not the goal. That might be a benefit, that's not the goal. The goal of following Jesus isn't just so you can have some kind of solid belief system that you can rest upon. The goal of following Jesus is not just so that you can, you know right from wrong, you can maybe do the, you know, do better at life. That's not the goal of following Jesus. The goal of following Jesus is this: it's to become more like Jesus. That's the goal of following Jesus. It's to become more like him. And so when you come to here to our church and we talk about a relationship with God, what we're talking about is this journey in our lives that we walk in faith, a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, so that we can become more like him and less like the person that we were before. That's the ultimate goal. Now, if I'm honest today, and I'm going to be really honest, if I'm honest, like I look at my own life and can I just tell you, I see a big gap between Jesus and me. Does anybody else feel that way? I gotta be honest with you. There is a gap. Like when I read about Jesus and his life and the story, and I go through and I see the way he loved the enemies, the way he did all this stuff, and I go, this is Jesus. I'm like right here. Like there is a gap inside of me. How many of you have ever really noticed that gap in your own life? Raise your hand. How many of you feel the internal conflict in your own life? Do you ever feel that? Can I just tell you, if you see a gap there, number one, can I just say, you're normal? That's the good news, you're normal. If you see a gap, you're normal. And if you feel a conflict or a tension at times where you're like, I know I should maybe be here, but I feel like I'm down here. I see, like, Jesus like set the bar so high and I'm way down. If you feel that kind of inner tension inside of you, can I just tell you that that might just be the Holy Spirit doing something inside of you. I want to talk about that. A lot of people don't understand, like, what's the role of the Holy Spirit? Last week, if you missed it, go back, because we wanted to understand who the Holy Spirit is. But I want to talk about this tension. Now, here's the good news. The reason why I say you're normal is because it's not just all of us, but even writers of Scripture felt this tension, this internal struggle. In fact, there's some words that were read in churches all over that were written by a guy named Paul. And Paul, who wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament, we're talking about the epitome of faith, Paul. We're talking about the superhero of the Bible and the New Testament, Paul. And yet Paul talks about the same inner tension that he felt in Romans chapter 7. I want to read to you just a few verses, if I can, out of Romans chapter 7. If you got your Bible, that's where I'm going to be for a moment. In Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15, I want you to listen to how Paul describes his inner tension. How Paul talks about this feeling he has inside. This is what Paul said. Now remember, this is a superhero of faith, okay? And Paul says this in verse 15. I don't really understand myself. You ever felt that way? I don't get it. He says, for what I want to do, he says, I want to do what is right, But I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. You ever done the wrong thing and you go, I knew this was the wrong thing. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. Verse 16, he says, But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. What God said is good. When I have a problem with something I did, then it actually shows that I agree with God. Verse 17, he said, so I am not the one doing wrong. Oh, that's a great excuse. It's not really me. Here's what he says, though. It's important. He says, it is sin living in me that does this. I mean, it's still kind of my problem, right? It's sin living in me. Verse 18, he said, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. Can I ask a question? Is there anybody here that can relate to Paul? Hello? I felt like I was just reading a script of my life. Like, I want to do the right thing. I bet you do too. Like, there's something inside of me that recognizes that there is good and there is evil. There is right and there is wrong. Paul says, if you actually recognize that, here's the good news. You agree with God. But then he says, I don't understand why I keep doing the wrong thing. And he talks about this inner battle, this conflict that we all feel on the inside. It is the classic battle of nature versus nurture. It's a classic battle of nature versus nurture. What do I mean? It's a battle of my nature and God's nurture. That's the battle. My nature and God's nurture. My nature. When he says my nature, he's referring to his sinful nature. It's this idea that you and I, without ever asking for it, we're handed some code that's been marred, messed up, programmed wrong from the very beginning, the first sin, that we've been handed this from our parents, and there is a nature for some reason. Here's what the word nature, right, is natural. He's saying, whenever I do what feels natural to me, I end up doing the wrong thing. I know it's wrong. Like, I know I should love that person, but God, they make it so hard, I just can't stand it, so I go off on them. I know probably the right thing to do would forgive this person who said these words and not hold a grudge. I can't. Every time I see him, it just comes back up in me, and I just think in my head, if I had the opportunity to cut you down with my tongue, I would. It's the sinful nature, and here's what Paul is warning us. He's like, be careful that you don't follow your sinful nature. Today's language, we'd say, well, just follow your heart. Just follow your truth, your true north. No, Paul would say, stop, don't do that. That's what continually causes me to do the thing I don't want to do. That's my nature. That's part of the battle. The other side of it is nurture, nature and nurture. It's my nature, it's God's nurture. What is that? For all of humanity, God has been nurturing humanity closer and closer to be more like him. He started in the garden with Adam and Eve when God's nurture was, hey guys, you can enjoy everything, but you just avoid this one tree because it'll destroy you. That's God's nurture. That's God's love. That's God's care. God said, don't do that. It's gonna mess you up. What do? They mess up anyways. Whenever God saw the whole nation of Israel come out of slavery and they were confused about who God is and what it means to honor him, God gave them a list. He gave them top 10. He gave them all these commands. Why? Not because God is an overbearing, rule-following, mean dictator type of God that just says, you do this and you do that and you're out of line if you do this. No, it's God's nurturing, saying, listen, you have this battle in you. I've actually wired you for the right thing, but you kind of tend to do the wrong thing. And so what I want to do is just lovingly show you the right thing. See, we know it's out of love that God did all of that, his nurture, because when Jesus showed up and they said, Jesus, what about all these commands? And God is just, how would we follow all this? Jesus said, you know, it's really not that confusing. He said, I'll condense it all for you. Love God with everything in you and love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus do? He said, it was love. If you let love be the leading principle in your life, you'll do the right thing. And yet, I agree with that. My guess is you're here today going, I agree with that.
We wish we all loved better. We should love people better. I think I feel like people are always saying that. Man, all we need is more love. We just love people. I would say, yes, I agree. Then why is it that we struggle to do it? I'll love you as long as you're nice to me. I'll love you as long as you're in the same party as me. I love you. Why do we struggle to do it? It's because there's a battle. There's a fight that's happening. This is the tension. This is the struggle. And this is the gap. There's a fight. We want to do what's right, but we tend to do what's wrong. We're caught in a struggle. Now, here's what I want to say if you feel that, okay? Or let me say this. If you don't feel that struggle ever, then I want to say this, and I want to say as lovingly as I can. That is a sign that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, does not dwell in you. And I don't care if you say, I believe in God. And it doesn't matter that maybe one day you prayed a prayer because someone said if you want to go to heaven, you need to pray this prayer. It doesn't matter. If you don't feel a tension inside of you, whenever you kind of want to do the wrong thing, if you never feel this tension, like here's where Jesus is and here's where I am, if you never feel a tension ever inside of you, then I'm just going to say it's an indication that the Spirit of God is not in you. In other words, you don't have a relationship with God. Because the Holy Spirit will make it personal and you'll experience it. But if you do have that tension, the good news is the Holy Spirit is present in your life. That's the good news. The good news is that if you feel that tension, because I know we don't like it. Let me just say, we don't like that tension. I get it. I don't like it either. The good news is that means the Holy Spirit is present in your life. And here's what we understand through Scripture, right? Is that whenever we experience and begin a relationship with Jesus by faith, the Holy Spirit actually comes and dwells inside of us. And here's the problem. The problem is when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of us, whenever there is sin in there, it causes a reaction. Let me describe it this way. Here's maybe an illustration to help you understand. The Holy Spirit is like hydrogen peroxide. How many of you remember your parents putting hydrogen peroxide on a wound when you were a kid? You remember that? Any of you do? Like, I remember there was this little season of my life where it happened a lot. It was this phase, maybe, where I wanted to be a skater. Not an ice skater, either. I wanted to, like, skateboard skating, right? And so I went all in. Okay, I wanted to be a skater and doing all the tricks and all those things. I remember one time I saw this really big hill, and I thought, this would be amazing, like to just fly down this hill. And as I go down this hill and it picks up speed, if you've ever been on a bike or a skateboard where all of a sudden it just got a little bit too fast and all of a sudden the whole thing's shaking like this, and I tumbled and I just shredded my knees, and I go home and they're bleeding and I'm crying, and my mom's like, okay, come over here, we gotta take care of that, and pulls out this brown bottle. You know what I'm talking about, the brown bottle? And if it's a small little cut, you just get a capful. If it's really bad, they just pour the whole bottle right on it. And let me ask you a question. What happens when you skin yourself on asphalt or something like that? What happens when you pour hydrogen peroxide over it? What happens? It bubbles up. You've seen that, right? This white foam begins to bubble up over the cut, and it hurts really bad, right? You're screaming, ah, it hurts, stop it. No, I got to keep pouring this on there. And they keep pouring, their mom and dad keep pouring that on until it stops bubbling up. What does it mean when it bubbles up? It means there's dirt in there. It's neutralizing the dirt in the cut. That's why whenever the hydrogen peroxide hits a cut that has dirt in it, it reacts to it. Can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit is what God pours into our life from the moment we say yes to Him. And guess what? Whenever there's dirt in your life, it causes a reaction. It causes a reaction. That's the tension. I don't like the way it feels. I know. It's God pulling holy peroxide on your soul to deal with the dirt in there. This is what the Holy Spirit does. In fact, I love this explanation of what the Holy Spirit does. The moment we begin a relationship with God by faith, I love it. Titus 3:5 says this. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It says that He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done. It's not because of the perfect life you live, or it's not because of all the good things that you've done, but because of his mercy. And he saved us through, notice this, the what? Say it with me, the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the moment you begin a relationship with God, his Spirit comes and dwells in you to make you new. And that process of renewing you, the process of making you new, is like God pouring hydrogen peroxide on your soul. In the areas of your sinful nature that are actually resistant to God, that have led you to a direction away from God, to a destructive path away from God, this is God's loving way of saying, no, 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 I want to change you to become more like Jesus. Now, here's the thing when it comes to this. We either work with him or we resist his work in us. That's the only two options. We either work with the Holy Spirit or we resist the work that he wants to do in us. So what does he do in us? What's the answer? See, here's the thing I love. Paul, he gives us the honest truth. Man, I'm jacked up. I'm messed up. I know I should be doing the right things, and I always tend to do the wrong thing. I love the gospel writers and the New Testament writers. I love that they're real because it helps me. But Paul doesn't leave us without understanding, what's the answer? How do we do this? In fact, I love the way he gives this answer to the church in Galatia. So if you have your Bible with you, I'm going to flip to Galatians chapter 5. You could read in Romans 8, Paul talks about the same thing, but I just love the way he words it to this one particular church. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, here's what Paul says. So I say, let the Holy Spirit do what? Would you all say that out loud? I want us to get this. Let the Holy Spirit guide your, what are we going to do? We're going to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. He says, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Oh, this sounds familiar. This is what he was talking about, right? In Romans 7, yeah. He says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Here's the end result of this battle, so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Paul's explaining, like, this is it. This is the internal struggle. This is the battle. You've got two forces coming at each other inside of you. Now, by the way, you only experience this kind of battle or tension when you begin a relationship with God by faith. If you don't know him, you won't feel this fight, this battle, this struggle. But if you do, you will. And here's what most of us think we need to do. This is not what Paul gives an answer, but I have seen this over and over. A lot of times, even in the church, our journey is that most of us go, oh, I messed up. I need to try harder. Oh, I need to do better. I need to be better. I need to get my act together. I know I screwed up again, and I shouldn't have said those words, and I shouldn't have cut them down, and I know I just need to try harder. Can I tell you something about the good news of Jesus, called the gospel, the good news of Jesus? It is not about behavior modification. Praise God is right. Listen to me, I really need you to hear this. If you're like, I'm just trying to understand faith, and maybe you're brand new, and you're like, what does it mean to walk with God? Let me tell you this, it's not clean your life up, and then God accepts you. It's not like, okay, stop doing that stuff, and then come to church. It's not like, okay, live a better life, and then God will bless you. That's not the good news of Jesus. In fact, whenever we operate in that, we might as well just take Jesus off the cross, because what he did on the cross is meaningless in our lives. What we need to understand is that, listen to me, I want you to, if you forget everything else that I say today, I want you to get this one truth, and that is this. Following Jesus isn't about doing better, it's about surrendering more. If you forget everything else that I said, oh, he's loud. He was big. He's excited today. I don't know. It's because I want us to get this so badly. Following Jesus isn't about doing better. It's about surrendering more. I want you to understand what that means. It means that it takes all of the weight and the pressure off of you, and really it puts it on him. This is the grace of God. This is understanding. This is you saying, I can't change myself. Some of us are trying. You're trying all the time. And you get frustrated over and over, and you feel like you don't measure up. You feel like, I'm a terrible follower of Jesus. You're like, I don't know why, but I keep screwing up. I keep messing up. Can I just please hear this today through the grace of God? It's not about doing better that will help you get there. It's about surrendering more. It's about learning to surrender more of your life to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit will do when you do it. Here's the role of the Holy Spirit. He wants to illuminate God's truth in every area of your life. If you heard last week when we talked about, and Jesus tried to help us understand who the Holy Spirit is, one of the things that he said is that the Holy Spirit says, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. And today, in our world, I get it. I said this last week. Everybody has their own truth. There is not everybody has their own truth. There is a truth. There's the truth. There's a real truth, not a relative truth. And when the Holy Spirit comes, listen, here's what he does in our life, is that he illuminates the truth of God to us in that area. You say, well, how does he do that? I'll tell you how he does it. He will illuminate God's truth when you read scripture. If you never read the Bible, you are going to struggle to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you read it, he'll illuminate truth. When you come and you listen to a sermon, if you are open and you actively engage in your mind and your spirit in listening, taking down notes, I'm absorbing this, I'm really going to wrestle with this, he will speak to you through a sermon. He'll speak to you through wise counsel if you're open and receptive to it. He'll speak to you. He will use so many different things to illuminate God's truth into your life. And the question really is this. This is all of us in our journey of faith. Is that we either respond or we ignore him. Like, it really is not that complicated. It's when you feel that pressure, when you feel the tension, when you feel him beginning to push into an area, when something you read in the Bible really begins to challenge your preconceived opinions about this world, when you hear a message from God's word and it challenges the way you're living your life, you have one of two options. You either respond to him or you ignore him. There's really nothing else. And ultimately, if we want to become more like him, it's not about doing better. It's about surrendering more. It's about, this is what used to be in our home, it's about asking the question, who holds the remote? Now, I know that this analogy does not register as much today in 2023 because, you know, there's either a lot of TVs in your house or you have an entire generation of kids who don't even watch TV because everybody has their own personal device that has full content streaming all the time. They can just go in their room and listen to whatever they want to listen to or watch whatever they want to watch. I get that. But there was a time, I am dating myself today. There was a time before social media, before everybody had a smartphone, for entertainment or anything else, there was a fight over what you watched on TV. Do y'all remember those days? How many remember those days? It was a fight. First one to grab the remote had the control, right? Remember those days? There's a football game on, or there's like, you know, want to watch something on Nickelodeon, your kids, right? And there's a fight over it. There was a fight. Now, I'm really going to date myself, and some of you are a little bit, you know, probably 35 and older, you might remember this. There was a time when we had this TV growing up that didn't even have one of these. It had dials on it. And we literally had to fist fight to turn the dials on the TV. Y'all remember that? And then you'd have to guard it. You never even got to watch your channel because you're spending the whole time fending off the TV so nobody can turn the dial. I don't remember those days. Someone told me about it. I don't remember. Not that old. The question is, and this is the question in our lives. This is the simple question you can ask. Who holds the remote? Me or God? And what I want to do, and I'm just going to say this right now. I want to get real and I want to get practical in a few areas. And I'm just going to put this out there right now. It might get a little bit tense. And if you feel that tension, that's not me. That is the Spirit of God pressing into an area in your life. I want to admit, because I even as I was just preparing and I was going through this, I felt the tension. And so let me ask you just a few areas. It's not all, but I think maybe some of the more significant areas of our life today that we think about. When it comes to your relationships, who holds the remote? Do your relationships, your friendships, in your relationships with others, do you tend to honor God more because of those relationships? Or do you tend to dishonor God more? Because of some of your relationships with certain people, is it every time you get around them, all you ever do is gossip about everybody else? Or every time you're with this group of friends, you become someone different and you know it. And you end up like needing to call an Uber because you get wasted every time you get with that group of friends. But when you're with a different group of friends, you would never do that. And you know, you wake up and you feel horrible and you feel that thing inside of you. And it's not that God doesn't want us to be with those who are maybe far from him. That's not the case. But there are times in our life when relationships, instead of us influencing them toward God, they pull us away from God. And I think God was speaking and say, maybe you shouldn't hang out with that person. Maybe that person isn't good for you right now in this season. Maybe there will be a time, but maybe they're not. This is the same. Ask in every part of your relationships. What if you're dating? What about your dating relationship you have with that person? Is the way you are in that dating relationship, is it reflective of honoring God? Has it gotten more physical than it should? Is it something that you know that you kind of leave moments at times and you go, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't go that far. We shouldn't. You see, whenever you feel that, this is what Paul said. He said, I know in my mind what is the right thing to do. When I know that, I'm actually agreeing with God, even when I choose the wrong thing. And so here's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into our life and he says, in the area of this relationship, will you give me the remote? Maybe it's time to change the channel in that area for a while. Maybe it's time to turn it off. What is it? What about your finances? What about when it comes to like how you operate with your money? Are you faithfully managing what God has entrusted to you? Or are you just making bad decision after bad decision? Are you mismanaging what God has given you? Are you being generous when God pricks your heart and says, I want you to give, I want you to help out? Are you withholding from God the tithe? Are you actually, I love God, but stay away from my finances. You know what the Holy Spirit will do? And this might get tense. He'll press right in that moment and he'll go, who's got the remote, you or me? But I'm trying to make it figure out once I get it all and I'll be generous and then I'll give. And God's like, no, you're missing the point. You haven't prioritized it correctly. If you honor me first, watch what I'll do in your finances. I'm just asking. I don't know you. I don't know your situation, but the Holy Spirit does. And when you begin to feel that tension, that's actually the Holy Spirit beginning to speak into that area. Maybe it's our time. What about your time? I think for some of us, time is more valuable than our money. Time is the commodity that we care most about. So do you prioritize your time so that you can make room for God in your relationship with him? You see, if this is just religion, then you don't bother. I just go to church. I try to do good. That's not what this is. But when it's a relationship, time matters. We know that. And sometimes we give excuses to God. I just don't have time. I'm so busy lately. I know I spent an hour on Facebook today. But, it's just been a busy, hectic day. And God's saying, I want time with you. I love you. I want time with you. Do you make time for reading God's word? Do you prioritize being here on Sunday? You're here. I'm talking to a group of people who are here, so I guess it's yes, that's great. Or is today the one time that you come out of every 6 weeks because you just, you know, you got other things and, well, the weather's nice. I'm going to play golf and, you know, we've got to go to the lake, you know, a few more times and we're going to do this. Listen, I love all that stuff. That stuff's fun. You should do all that stuff whenever you can. But I don't ever want to say to God, God, you are less important than those things. And when you feel that tension, like maybe some of you are feeling right now, that's the Holy Spirit. He's beginning to prick. He's beginning to say, I'm trying to do something in you. And the challenge, the fight is who has the control. I'll do one more area that I was, it's really sensitive. So I love you. What about when it comes to your politics? Do you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit more than you do your political party? The way you treat other people, is it reflective of how God would? Because that's what the Holy Spirit will do. Or do you treat someone else who thinks different, votes different, as the enemy? Do you have nothing but vitriol for them online? I'm a keyboard warrior. I drop comments in there, let you know how you're awful and you're the worst and you're this. Can I just tell you, that is not the way of Jesus. Jesus, he said, if you want to know what God's law is, love him and love your neighbor as yourself. That means love your enemy as yourself. And so I think sometimes, I know this is challenging, but I don't know any other way for us to understand what the Holy Spirit does than for us to sit in a moment where he challenges us to say, will you surrender more of you to me? Because here's what I know. This is the process of how God changes us. God does not change us unless there's tension. We do not grow unless there's tension. You can go to the gym, but if you never feel tension on your body, on your muscles, they will not grow. We know that. The same is true in a spiritual relationship with God, that there's a tension that we feel, and that is a good thing. Please, I want you to hear me. That's a good thing. It's a God thing. It's something that God wants to do inside of us. And here's the really good news. What he asks us to do in those moments is simply to say, God, I surrender this to you. And he'll change you. If you let him, he will change you. If you let him, he will begin the changing process. And what he will do and bring out of you is so beautiful. Paul goes on, and maybe if you get a chance to read Galatians 5 this week, I would encourage you to do that. But can I just tell you some of the things that the Spirit of God wants to bring out of your life? I love this. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Here's how you know when the Holy Spirit is evident in your life. What's the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. God doesn't need to tell us do right, do wrong with this. Like, this is what the Spirit of God brings out of us. I want to be more loving as a father, as a husband, as a coworker, as this. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will actually begin to do that in your life if you'll surrender your work to him. You'll surrender your home life to him. If you'll surrender those areas. You want more joy? Guess what? Invite the Spirit of God to have control over the things you worry about, the things that you struggle about. You want more peace? Invite the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I am stressed about our finances. I'm overwhelmed, and I have been trying to do it my way, and it's not working. And so today, here I am saying, I'm going to surrender. Show me the truth. Show me the way to order my finances, and I'm going to trust you, God. And all of a sudden, it begins to change you. And Jesus said this, you will know a tree by its fruit. See, I think we've gotten so comfortable, sometimes even in this Western version of Christianity, where we go, just pray a prayer, say yes to Jesus, ask him to forgive you, you're good. But I have some belief system. I believe there's God, and I believe Jesus, he rose again, that I'm good. That is religion. Relationship is where you take that belief, and then you enter into a personal, authentic real experience and encounter with him every single day. And when you do that, it begins to change you. And here's the good news. I want you to hear this. It's a process. And so if you're hearing this today and you're going, oh gosh, I suck. I blow it in half of those areas he just talked about. I realize I am really far down here. God, you're up here. I'm such short. I'm way down here. I got some really good news for you. God's grace covers it all. And through his grace and his mercy, that he will begin to change you if you will let him. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. We're going to pray. We're going to take these moments, because this isn't religion. This is a moment for you and me, all of us, to have a personal time with God. I hate that sometimes we become so systematic and we become so corporate and so whatever that we're just like, okay, we sing a few songs and then we hear a message and then the pastor says a prayer and then we go on about our day. No, let's not do that right now. Why don't you have a moment with your Creator through the Holy Spirit? And so bow your heads if you would, just close your eyes. And I just want you to just, maybe in your heart right now in this moment, this is you in your own personal way saying, God, would you help me to know how to give you the remote? Maybe right now as we're just in a moment of prayers, you put your attention on God. And sometimes when I do that, I see my shortcomings, and that's okay. If you feel that inside of you, that tension, that battle, that is actually the Holy Spirit beginning to work in your life. And that's a good thing. And so maybe in your own way today, maybe you just begin to tell him, God, there's some areas in my life that I feel like you're illuminating, that you're touching even right now. It could be one of those areas I mentioned. It could be something to do with your work, your career. It could be what you're pursuing, what you're running after. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's power. Maybe there's someone that you're supposed to forgive and you just cannot get your... Maybe greed has gripped your life. Maybe anger. Maybe you have an anger problem. Maybe it's just an area that you struggle with, an addiction that you struggle with. Can I just tell you that maybe God wants you in this moment to lay it down. The good news of Jesus, listen to me, is not doing better. It's surrendering more. Maybe there's someone here today, maybe you're watching this right now, and the truth is you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. I'm not saying there wasn't a time when maybe you prayed some prayer thinking that magically it would make you good with God, but nothing ever happened after that. I'm saying, was there ever a moment where by faith, where you just sensed his presence in a real way and you said, God, finally, I'm gonna let go of control. I'm gonna give you the remote today. Maybe there's some of you today that it's time to begin that relationship with God, to place your faith in Jesus, to say, I wanna surrender my life completely to him. If that's your prayer, if that's your desire, this is your starting point today, then I'm gonna invite you just to pray this simple prayer with me right where you are by faith. Would you just say, Jesus, today I give you my life. I believe that you died for me, that you rose again to give me new life. Today, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Today, I invite your Holy Spirit to dwell inside of me, to make me new. Today, I surrender my entire life to you. Listen, there's some of you that maybe prayed that for the first time, but here's what I know. I think maybe all of us, to some extent, that should be our prayer today. Maybe there's an area of your life that you have not fully surrendered to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is beginning to prompt you and say, it's time for you to surrender that area. Come on, I want us in this moment, what does it look like for us to respond to him? Maybe you just take your hands, if you feel comfortable, you turn them up and you'll say, God, I just surrender.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.